Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Welcome in. This is the Brad Sesmad Show, live on Sports360AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. We are not Brad Sesmad, if you're tuning in live. We are Mark Asher, and of course, the great Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona. Hi, Jody.
Hi.
It has been way too long.
It has been way too long.
It's like a reunion show.
We co-hosted
like
a show maybe 12 or 13 years ago.
We've done shows together before, but obviously... it has been quite some time. So it's great to see you.
You're extremely overdressed for radio, but you look fantastic.
I don't ever wear... I just wear flip-flops to my work as a financial advisor, but E tells me we're on TV, so...
Well, yeah. So, you know.
I didn't do the... I used to do the Fox Sports Arizona stuff with you back in the day. I always tell people... I was Todd Walsh before Todd Walsh. And then they go, what? And I go, never mind. That doesn't really...
You did a season of Coyotes, right?
I did Coyotes for a season, and then I did a little bit of Diamondbacks. But that was before you guys kind of took it to the next level.
Yes.
Because now you guys do a lot
now
with the Diamondbacks.
This is my 15th year.
That is unbelievable.
And we do 150 D-backs games.
That is really cool. Well, good for you, and it is great to see you. And we are happy to be here in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat. We got a couple guests who are going to be joining us on the program today. One will be Bill Goody-Kuntz. And that's a weekly segment every Friday here on the Brad Sesmat Show. And so we'll talk to Bill about a couple different things that are going on. We'll get his take on big moves at ESPN is when their big names is out. So Bill will join us coming up at the bottom of the first hour. And then also Tony La Russa, not the skipper of the D-backs, but maybe making some of those managerial moves from up in the front office.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, of course, he's got that title, CBO, Chief Baseball Officer. So
is that his official title?
That's his official title.
Okay, all right.
You know, he was brought on last year with, Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall making that move, and brought on in June. And so it's interesting to watch the moves that are taking place. You know, he was instrumental in hiring Chip Hale, of course, and those two kind of worked together. But Chip's had a lot of experience in the baseball world. I know you knew Chip when he was here with the Diamondbacks the first time around.
Right.
And, it's been fun to watch the evolution a little bit of this team. I mean, granted, they're not, it's so early right now, but they're hanging right in there.
They're still relevant.
They're absolutely relevant.
I said on my show, and I said that when I was filling in, I guess, was it last week, 2 weeks ago? You got to just stay relevant.
Yep.
If you're the Arizona Diamondbacks, because last year was brutal. You probably didn't even want to go to work last year at the end of the year.
It's tough at the, because you get to a point. We had two trips near the end of the year that were 10 game trips, and that 2-8. They went 2-8 on each one of them. You think about that. It's,
pretty big.
And guys are going out there. You had young guys trying hard to do their job. You had veteran guys fighting for jobs. So, I mean, it's interesting to watch, because no matter how hard you're trying individually, when you're out of it, when you're that many games back, and the other teams have so much at stake, and it's just hard to climb in there. But one of the things, lots to talk to Tony about, they've been scoring a lot of runs.
Yeah.
But one thing that I think is really interesting, they went out and decided to get a couple hard throwers in the offseason. They went out and got Ruby De La Rosa. They also got Robbie Ray, who just had a start the other day. And neither of them looked great in spring training. But you know what? They're kind of coming into their own now. I mean, you have a guy now that can throw Robbie from the left side. And he's not in the rotation, but he's down. He's going to go back to Reno, and then he'll be called on. But they wanted to add that in the mix. And they thought they were getting guys that are kind of, haven't been successful yet, but young enough where they're going to evolve to that. And maybe we're watching that right now. So
right.
A long way to go. But
cool. I think Tony La Russa joins us in the middle segment of hour number two.
First segment, hour two. 11
here on the Brad Sesmat Show. So again, Jody Jackson, by the way, you can follow both of us on Twitter. I am MarkAsher32. That's my Twitter handle. And then JJ's got Jody_Jackson. On Twitter. They made you throw the... Is there another Jody Jackson
out
there?
I guess I need to go buy off the person that has Jody Jackson, so maybe we can work on that in another time.
I think that's why I have the 32 on the end of mine, because someone...
What is that? Is that your was
that was
your
that was my high school basketball jersey number, and my that's what I play roulette. I like to throw that down a little bit every once in a while. More on that in a minute, by the way, roulette. And
you got a big weekend coming up.
I do,
up.
But we do want to tell you guys about today's top stories are brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino, located in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top in eastern Arizona. Head up now, enjoy the beautiful weather, and stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. All right, let's get into it, Jody. There's so many topics that we want to talk about, so we'll kind of go forward quickly. But the big topic that's going on right now in the NFL is that of Tom Brady, yeah. You know, the golden child, the man, you know, coming off of his Super Bowl victory here in Arizona against the Seattle Seahawks. And to say things aren't going Brady's way right now is probably a little bit of an understatement.
No, I mean, it came out when the Wells report came out, and now we've had a lot of reports, you know, headed up by Roger Goodell with the NFL, and unfortunately this just continues to happen in the world of the NFL. But the Wells report comes out, and then the first thing that I saw that was really, I think, what lit up social media, the texts between the two guys that were, you know, one was titled the deflator, you know, handling the footballs
right.
And deflating the footballs and mentioning Tom Brady. So now we know that, and I thought this was a great point. You and I were talking before we started the show. Is it a crime that he wanted the footballs underdeflated? Well, yes, there's a range they need to be in. But, yes, do other quarterbacks, you know, Aaron Rodgers has mentioned he likes his a little bit overinflated, a little on the high side. So they're telling the quarterbacks in the NFL, we want you to be comfortable with the footballs you're playing with. But the problem with Tom Brady is, and you said this, is that he lied about it.
Right.
And that he can't get away from that now.
And that's the biggest deal. You know, I think that, you know, I go back and look at some big suspensions that have happened. You know, the Ray Rice suspension, totally different topic, domestic violence. And obviously now the NFL has realized the two-game suspension for Ray Rice was an absolute joke
right.
at the time. Now they might be going, and I'm not trying to diminish it, but maybe going even more so overboard to say, hey, this is not going to happen in our league, which I think is great. But I'm interested to see, because this isn't an off-field issue. This is an on-field issue. And I go back to what happened with Sean Payton, mm-hmm. the coach of the New Orleans Saints, right? With the bounty gate.
Yep.
Everything's a
great,
gate,
yeah.
right? Everything's a gate at the end of it. But deflate gate and spy gate and bounty gate. But the bounties that were going out, I really truly thought a year suspension for Sean Payton was extreme and excessive. And now that's I'm looking at that case. And then some of the other smaller, you know, the Spygate, you know, the Patriots have part of the problem with the Patriots is they have a little bit of a history of this.
Right.
Bending
so,
the rules, yeah. cheating a little bit just to get whatever advantage mm-hmm. you can. Is Tom Brady the only guy in the NFL deflating balls or having said handlers
having the
deflate
equipment
balls?
Guys
no.
prepare the footballs
no.
the way that
no.
he wants them.
What is the number, E? What's the, like, the PSI range? Is it
12 to 14, I think?
I believe that's right. I'm not
and his,
totally
and they were
sure.
at 11 during the Colts game. They were
okay.
at, they were
so it's
under.
Like 12 to 14 is what you can have it, somewhere in that range. Aaron Rodgers likes him like 13.5.
Yep.
It's like a bowling ball. And then, and I can tell the difference. And I've said this before. And Jody, you've been on many sidelines and many fields. If you ever pick up a pro football, right?
Yeah.
It's not like the one well, I throw with my buddies in the turkey bowl on Thanksgiving. It's like, it's bigger.
Yeah. yeah.
It's hard, and you're
it's
like,
wow. It's easier to catch and easier to grip. Some would say, Tom Brady has said, if it's a little bit under, if it's not as hard, if it's not as rock hard.
I can
hard,
understand
so.
That. I can't even throw. I can throw a regular football. I get an NFL or even a college football, and I'm like, like a 12-year-old schoolgirl in the and you know I just can't do it and no offense
but that's
a 12-year-old schoolgirl thing
okay it's not you know what I went out to the Pro Bowl practices when this whole thing was happening and you know some guys are real like Drew Brees was pretty adamant you know that's an advantage you know that you know and then other guys were like you know what it's not that big a deal so that's what's interesting is you have
right.
guys like Drew Brees in particular told me you know yeah, that's a big difference. It's a big deal.
All right, we do have Tom Brady did have a scheduled appearance last night at Salem State, I think, University in Massachusetts, and it was hosted by my least favorite person, Jim Gray.
He's always involved in these things.
God, he is. Can I tell a real quick story? So I went to dinner with Brian Colangelo, John Gambadoro, and I'm name-dropping here a little bit, but this was years ago. Brian took us to a fight that was at Dodge Theater
okay.
years ago. And the fight was on Showtime, so of course Jim Gray was there. So Jim Gray comes up to Brian Colangelo, starts talking. So after the fight, Colangelo's like, hey, let's go to dinner at, I can't think of the Italian place where the guys are all supposed to be really good looking and the girls love it in Scottsdale. Anyway, whatever it's called. the guys, the waiters do like calendars. I can't think
really?
Of what it's called.
You sure anyway. This was a restaurant?
It was a restaurant, yeah.
You weren't like...
No, it was a restaurant. So we go to this restaurant in Scottsdale and like... 30 minutes into our dinner, here comes Jim Gray. And I'm like, what is this guy doing here? So he sits down, and I'm not kidding you, 5 minutes into him sitting down, he brings up the Pete Rose interview. Like, we weren't even talking.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And just totally made the whole conversation about him. And I work with Gambo, who makes every conversation about him. And I'm just like, get me out of this chair, dinner. I want to go home.
You weren't able to get a word in that night.
Oh, God, no. I just sat there and I ate the spaghetti or whatever it was. Jim Gray did sit down with Tom Brady, and he was trying to get something out of the MVP-winning quarterback. Here's him asking about how Tom Brady is dealing with all this.
I've dealt with a lot of things in the past. I dealt with this 3 months ago before the Super Bowl. I dealt with a lot of adversity over the course of my career, my life. And I'm very fortunate to have so many people that love me and support me. Thank you.
He also said that he couldn't get into it right now. And Gray was, Gray was trying to get him to say something. But Brady was like, now's not the time.
I don't have really any reaction, Jim. Our owner commented on it yesterday, and it's only been 30 hours, so I haven't had much time to digest it fully. But when I do, I'll be sure to let you know how I feel about it.
It's only been 30 hours. That's well, my favorite part of that bite.
I will
it's
say this.
Only, it hasn't been 30 minutes. It's been 30 hours.
Did Jim Gray come back with, are you a slow reader?
Yeah, that was my favorite part of what Jim Gray. I don't like him, but that was funny.
30 hours is like plenty of time, Tom.
He's like, do you not read very fast? Tom said, look, I read X's and O's. I was never known for my academics. Now, Jim Gray did leave the crowd with this before they got into whatever else they were going to talk about. He asked Tom Brady if this has taken away from his Super Bowl victory at all.
Has this, however, detracted from your joy of winning the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not.
It's great he did this at a college in Massachusetts because
right,
he's got
yeah,
the home crowd.
Yeah, do that speech in New York in front of a bunch of Jets fans or something.
He's no dummy, Tom Brady. He's not taking those speaking engagements outside of the Boston
area. And that's why he did it. And I don't fault Tom Brady for not saying something to Jim Gray at this schedule. That was probably not the time or the place. There will be a time and place, mm-hmm. And I would guess it'll be soon. It could be today.
Well, his agent has already made it clear he feels. Don Yee has come out with, like, this is a, kind of a conspiracy against Tom, which is really interesting considering the texts. You know, you can't get away from things that have now been written and published on numerous sites.
What do you think, and we'll probably talk about this more later, what do you think Tom should get? Should he be suspended? Should this be monetary? Should the team, like, what do you think will happen to Tom Brady? Because that's the question.
I think something has to happen because it's just these are rules, and when they're violated, not to mention the fact that he lied. So something, and I think it needs to be more than a fine, because if you're just fining him, I mean, let's face it, money doesn't mean much to the Brady household.
Right.
Brady Bunchen.
He could
duo.
Ask his wife, can I borrow, I got to find $100,000, can I borrow it?
So like, suspension.
She's got more than he does.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point with Sean Payton. I mean, again, you're talking about harming guys that are out on the field, unnecessary violence, things like that. So a year, maybe a game or two, but is the NFL willing to do that?
Well, he brought up a great point. The first game of the year, Steelers, Patriots, Thursday Night Football in New England. Are you really not going to have Tom Brady in that game? I do think Tom Brady should be suspended. I'm with you, Jody. A game, two tops. People are talking about a year, four games.
Yeah, I think
that
that's
seems
definitely
excessive. Again,
you're talking about the inflation of footballs. But you know what? How is it? You kind of wonder, Ash, how long was this going on? A long time. How many games were maybe changed by that? Maybe they weren't. He obviously played well in the Super Bowl.
Tom Brady inflated footballs. Alex Rodriguez inflated his muscles, and he got in trouble, and no one's forgiven him. We're going to talk about A-Rod and a bunch of other stuff coming up next, including the Arizona Diamondbacks staying relevant. Jody Jackson and Mark Asher, we are filling in for the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports 360 AZ and azcentralsports.com. We are back right after this.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
And welcome back. The Brad Sesmatt Show. Jody Jackson and Mark Asher filling in today for Brad. We are streaming live on Sports360AZ and azcentral.com. And we're going to talk about a little more than the NFL. We explore Tom Brady and Deflategate last segment, and we might get back to that in a little bit. But right now, you know, as you know, Mark, my life is D-back centric.
Yes.
I do about 100 games a season. Last season was tough, 64-98 on the year. And so this year, treading water, you know, they've been right about around that 500 mark. They've won three in a row now. And, you know, right now, I think we're still learning a lot about the Arizona Diamondbacks. We know they can score runs, and we're seeing if this rotation can live up to what maybe Dave Stewart and Tony La Russa are hoping they can do.
Well, and we haven't even seen the rotation really do what we think it's going. You know, you mentioned Ray and some of the injuries, and, you know, they've got Corbin is working his way back, right? And I heard Bronson Arroyo say the other day his goal is to be back by July to give them, you know, maybe 10 starts to, you know, so
they're going
to
get crowded soon. Yeah,
they're going to get crowded at some point. And Bradley obviously is coming back, although he's dodging balls in the dugout now and has to wear catcher's gear just watching. But I let me say this. I love Archie Bradley. I love what the Diamondbacks did. So many times teams are too careful with their young star prospects. Throw him out there, man. We get, you know, I mean, as long as you're not taxing his arm and, you know, hey, Archie, you go and, you know, give us 130 pitches today. Okay, they're not going to do that. But the fact that that guy was so dominant in spring training and they made the move and they got rid of
Cahill.
Yeah. Thank God. You're right, that guy was terrible. I love that move. Now, there might be some growing pains, but right now, I mean, Bradley's probably the best pitcher on the team in the five spot. So I'm excited about the prospects moving forward. Some of these other guys are going to start getting healthy as well. Mm-hmm. Is this team going to win the NL West? Absolutely not. You know that. But if they can stay relevant and not be, because what are they right now? Like five games back? Four and a half?
No, not even. I don't have the standings up. They were just kind of
it's four and a half.
Colorado, is it? Is it?
Yeah. Okay, so the Dodgers are in first, then San Diego, San Fran, Arizona, all like four and a half back. San Fran's starting to put it together a little bit now.
So
and
you,
then,
you just want to keep that where you're not too far back and try to maintain
that. Don't become
that
Milwaukee,
July.
Who's 12 and a half games out, and they've only played 29 games. They played 29 games. You're 12 and a half out already? Like, it's over.
That's what last year was, unfortunately.
Right.
Oh,
and you know, and it just, it makes you not want to go to the ballpark in the summer. It makes you not want to watch it on TV, to be quite honest. And I know the numbers at Fox Sports Arizona
have been great.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it's because people want to watch a team winning.
Oh, it's because of you.
It's because of me?
Absolutely. Tell Brett Hanson and all the front office guys over there it's because
of you. Well, we have enjoyed this season so far and kind of the new energy Chip has brought. You know, Chip Hale has a lot of experience, and he's working to kind of just push all those right buttons. And right now, one of the right buttons has been putting Mark Trumbo in the two spot. And we'll ask Tony La Russa about that. But he was inserted there during Wednesday's doubleheader, the first game, and he has flourished there. And that continued last night at Chase Field.
This is well hit down the left field. Fourth of the year, and it's 1-0 D-backs on Throwback Thursday.
I do like the Throwback Thursday, by the way. I think that's pretty cool. My son gets a kick out of it, Jackson, and he has throwback gear.
Yeah,
and he likes wearing
that.
He's
8, right?
He'll be 8 in
a
couple months.
They were, and my son is about to turn 9.
I don't
know. So they stopped wearing it in 06. So
he wasn't even born yet.
They were, yeah, and Connor was months old. So
right, we need to get your son and my son together. And then we'd have Connor Jackson.
That's right.
Right?
Ta-da!
Well, wait, isn't your son's middle name is Jackson?
His middle name's Jackson.
That's
that
right.
Actually came up last night because we did this. We had Brandon Webb.
Right. I remember that. Yep.
Co-hosting with me on the pregame. And we did a flashback to one of Brandon's best games, which happened to me May 20th, 2006. He threw a complete game shutout. And he actually threw a complete game shutout in his next outing. I mean, we all remember how good Brandon Webb was. So it's
the
fun
best.
To look back. And I said, May 20th, 06. My son was born that morning. And the only thing I don't remember, I remember the Suns were in the playoffs at that point, really heated, you know, big playoff run.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't remember that game, but I remember in the pregame because Todd Walsh went up to Connor Jackson and said, what do you think? They showed a picture.
I remember
of
this,
Connor.
That you were saying it. Absolutely.
And,
I remember
Connor
watching
Jackson
this.
Said, well, she spelled it wrong because the true Irish spelling is one N, but my Connor has two N's.
Two N's,
so,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, he was C-O-N-O-R. And yours is C-O-N-N-E or O-R?
C-O-N-N-O-R.
O-R, okay. No, that's funny because there's a kid on Jackson's baseball team named Connor and his Jack, and they sit next to each other all the time, and I always take a picture. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
They're popular
It's not
names.
Funny now
because
Connor
names,
Jackson's
yeah.
not in the league. But anyway, so the throwback gear I think is great. I felt for a while the new ownership group wanted to almost distance themselves from the old regime and the old thoughts of purple and teal.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, financial fallout from the World Series.
Well, of course.
And, you know, I think none of us regret that at all, obviously being part of that. I mean, that was probably, besides the Cardinals Super Bowl, and then, of course, I covered a Stanley Cup Finals as well, but the only one that turned out on the winning end was the Diamondbacks for me as a reporter covering that game. And I mean, it was, you know, I think we all know being here an amazing moment. But yeah, it seemed like there was a little bit of, okay, we're going to start anew, went to the different colors. But yeah, they truly embrace it now. And every Thursday at home this year is going to be Throwback Thursday. So you and Jackson should come on out, bring the whole family.
He's so pumped. He wants to see the throwback. So I like the throwbacks. And, you know, again, we'll talk more with Tony La Russa coming up here in just a little bit. But, you know, I like what's going on. This team has won 3 in a row. You know, the power is starting to show up a little bit. The health is going to start getting better. We're going to see Archie Bradley out there pretty soon. You know, just keep doing what you're doing, Diamondbacks. Again, whether you win the NL West or not, I know that's their goal.
Yeah.
As a fan this year, that's not my goal. I just want to see this team.
You know, Tony
compete.
Came out in spring and said anything less than 81-81 would be a disappointment. So he kind of set it down there, and you know, he set it out like we need to be 500 at least. And a lot of people even scoffed at that and said, "Well, is that realistic?" But you know, watching them, I think it is realistic. I mean, it's not really about, you know, when you look at the whole season, it's not about catching the Dodgers or, you know, I don't know how the Giants actually are going to, you know, the Giants have had their struggles, but it's more about, you know, winning 2 of 3 when you're facing these other teams. And yeah, there's some the Phillies, or they're about to go Phillies Marlins on the next road trip, you know, so you take those games, you know, worry about those matchups that you know, and then you have to do well in the division. And they've done okay in the division so far.
All right, we're going to turn our attention in baseball, which a different team that is maybe surprisingly in first place, and that's the New York Yankees. They got a 3-game lead in the AL East as some of the teams that we thought would compete, Boston and Baltimore and even Toronto, they're not playing real well, and the Yankees are putting it together. And kind of, believe it or not, Jody, one of the reasons why is a guy that is maybe the most hated man in sports right now. And
yes,
that's Alex Rodriguez.
I would agree. You know, no one wanted him to be on the team. The Yankees didn't even want him. They're you know, when he showed up, they weren't prepared. They want to forget that he's around, and yet he's performing. I think, you know, there's a lot that goes into this, but I'm just surprised that he's able to perform at this high level. And he just hit home run number 661, surpassing Willie Mays, and it kind of was like happened and completely under the radar last night.
Everything he has done this year has been completely under the radar. And I'm torn here a little bit. I really am, because I hate baseball. Took a little bit of a backseat in my list of fan, you know, my fandom for each sport because of all the crap that went on with Bonds and McGuire and,
it's,
you know,
understandable.
Just, you know, and Ryan Braun and it bugged me, you know. I mean, I still love baseball, but it bugged me because I was like, I don't know what I'm watching anymore. But I do believe a little bit in, if you pay, you know, you pay the penalty, you can come back. Like,
and he missed a whole season.
A-Rod wasn't suspended for life and found some loophole. He got suspended for what was said to be his suspension. And now he's back. So there's a part of me that's like, I don't know if I kind of like that, like, the media and everyone's just kind of ignoring the feats that he's doing. Or if there's a part of me that says, that's not fair. Because the guy has been a great player his whole career for a long time. Now, what we don't know about A-Rod is how many of those 661 home runs were aided in any way.
Right. Well, and we know that many of them were. We know that he was using steroids for quite a long period of time, it appears. I mean, that's another thing. You go back to with Tom Brady and the lying. I mean, part of it is how he handled it. I mean, other guys, you know, if you come out and you just take it and you own it and you say you're sorry. I mean, Andy Pettit to me was one that was like, handled it well.
He did.
You know?
And it went away, right? He handled it well and it went away. A-Rod did not handle it well. And you're right. The way he handled it was awful. That's why it won't go away.
And it lingered and it lingered. And, you know, the thing is now with baseball, and like you said, it has changed the way, you're not alone. It's changed the way a lot of people have looked at it, because now what does baseball do with guys like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, A-Rod? What do you, what,
well,
do
we're
going to
find out
with
the Hall
guys
of Fame as we continue on. By the way, I mean, when I say no one gave A-Rod love, even the Yankee homer himself, John Sterling, didn't. Listen to this.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep left center field. Away back goes Jones in deep left center. That ball is gone! Alex Rodriguez hit one into the loading dock just to the left of Monument Park. A long home run. In fact, it's an A-bomb from A-Rod.
That guy's such a cheeseball. Unbelievable. It's an A-bomb from A-Rod. But nothing.
That hasn't changed.
Not a single. And then later, Susie Waldman came on and said, oh, my goodness gracious, Roger Clemens. I can't stand her, maybe more than Sterling. But she made mention that it was number 661. But it was minimal.
Yeah, I feel like I need Gambo to be here right now.
Oh, God. I hurt my voice. My throat hurts.
It was just like a little. It was just a golf clap. That's all it was.
It was a golf clap. His teammates. It wasn't like mobbed at home plate. Think of Derek Jeter.
Correct. Derek Jeter grabs a Gatorade and everyone just stands and starts applauding.
Jeter, you know, hits a line drive rope to third base with the bases loaded, bottom of the ninth to lose the game. And they still give him a stand. I mean, and I get it. Derek Jeter, A-Rod, not even close.
No.
In the two in their careers. But, you know, A-Rod's not going anywhere. He's got 7 home runs, 18 RBIs. He's not batting real great, like 245.
Yeah, but he's hitting the ball. He almost had 2 home runs last night.
Yeah, he got robbed.
He got robbed at the wall by Delmon Young. So,
do you know who's next up on the list, E, by any chance?
I don't. Off the top of my head. But we won't hear much about it because we didn't hear him. I mean, we didn't hear much about him passing Willie Mays.
Well, Willie Mays, too. Oh, here it is. Here's next. Oh, Babe Ruth is next.
I think I've heard of him.
I mean,
Babe Ruth is next.
It's not going away.
I should have known that.
Unless he gets injured.
That was a really dumb question that I just threw out there, Jody.
Is it?
Hey, who's ahead of him? Like, I should know it's Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron, Barry Bonds. Like, I shouldn't have to look that up.
You know, the thing about A-Rod is, unless he's injured, this is not, you know, he can, who knows if he stays healthy.
Especially in the American League, where he could really extend his career
as a DH. He's going to play another couple years, no doubt. I mean, I don't know that he's going to catch Bonds, and that would be the irony. Like, I think what people have a problem with, he's passing Willie Mays. Willie Mays just had, like, his 85th, 86th birthday, something like that. He's passing Willie Mays. And then, you know, then you pass Babe Ruth. And then you pass Henry Aaron. I don't know if anyone have a problem. I mean, do you care if Alex Rodriguez or Barry Bonds is the all-time home run king? Does it matter? I mean, pick your poison. They both cheated.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, what's sad is for those guys that played back in the day where they're not owning these records now, and then these guys are owning them, and they're tarnished.
In a lot of people's minds, though, guys like Aaron and Ruth and some of the greats, they kind of still do have the record. You know, even though it's not official. I think people feel that way. All right, Jody Jackson and Mark Asher, we're in for Brad Sespat here on Sports360AZ.com and, of course, AZCentralSports.com as well. We still got a lot to do on the program. Bill Goody-Kuntz from AZ Central will be joining us in about 20 minutes from now or so. We'll talk to Bill about a bunch of stuff, including another Bill who doesn't have a job anymore. That's coming up in just a little bit. We might talk about Mayweather-Pacquiao, as maybe there won't be a rematch, or maybe there will. I feel some gamesmanship is going on.
Do you want to see it?
Right now. No, not really.
No.
I watched the first one, and it was exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it wasn't very good. But when we come back, we'll take a look at the NBA playoffs. All these series are getting interesting, but all are getting a little jumbled with injuries. We'll talk about that next. Again, Jody Jackson, Mark Asher, in for the big guy, Brad Sespat. It is the Brad Sespat Show here on Sports360AZ.com. All right, welcome back to the Brad Sespat Show here on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Mark Asher, along with JJ, Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona. I'm going to tell a quick story. I have because I told you an E, but I feel like I have to share.
Jim Gray's not part of it, right?
This is about me, and I am making the show about myself right now. But
that's fine.
I leave for Vegas tomorrow morning, and I haven't done one of these in a long time. I used to do them every once in a while back in college, but it is a less than 24-hour stay in Vegas. Leave at 8:20 a.m.
The Hangover
flight.
Remake.
It is. We might lose one of my business partners. We're going to celebrate a little bit, but I found out today. This is the cool part. So we're having like a pool party at Rehab, which is like the famous pool.
Yes, I've been there.
At Hard Rock.
My husband used to work at
the Hard Rock, so I spent some
time there.
So you know what it's all about.
Pool.
So Rehab is now, it used to be a Sunday thing, but now it's Saturday, Sunday. So they have some DJ from Linkin Park is the DJ. And then I found out this morning that Rob Gronkowski is hosting a party.
You're kidding me.
So, again,
Gronk, you're partying with Gronk.
Okay, so you want to know something real funny? So my wife, Samantha, I tell her, guess who's going to be at the pool party?
Yeah.
I said, Gronk. She goes, do you know him? And I go, no, I mean, no.
Like, not
I
don't, personally.
Not personally. Yeah. I mean, I know who he is. I think I've seen him once. I stood next to him, but I don't know him. She goes, oh, good. And I go, yeah, I'm not going to be invited to, like, the post party. Like, don't worry about that.
Yeah, if you're married, you might have concerns if you're hanging out with Gronk, if your spouse knows you're in Vegas with Gronk.
Yeah, that could be not
I wonder if
thing.
They drive the party bus to Vegas. Like, does that just go across
it's,
country?
Okay,
you
so
need to get on that party bus, and you need to tweet out some pictures,
it's
okay?
It's kind of a random. Well, that's why I kind of threw it out there. Check Twitter this weekend.
Absolutely.
If I get some pics of Gronk, they're going up on Twitter at MarkAsher32. But I had heard he's out there for his brother's bachelor party.
Okay.
So, but yeah, he's hosting this party.
It made huge news the other day that, like, he has a girl. He's dating someone.
Oh, no.
So I don't
know. I don't want to mess that up on Twitter. Sorry, Gronk. Got you broken up with.
It was coming from her more than from, I didn't see anything from him. So I'm not sure the reality of that. But
someone or
well,
someone.
You need to hydrate. Get him some water, E.
I'm hydrating
right
here.
You need
here.
To be ready for this.
I am ready. So so I fly back Sunday morning at 7:50 a.m.
It's Mother's Day.
And it's Mother's Day. And my wife says, you better not be hungover. And I kind of looked at her like, come on. I'm going to be hungover. I won't let you know about it. How's that? She's like, fine. Just you better be awake.
Just get her something nice.
Have all
I'm
your
sure
teeth,
you
know, all that good stuff.
Have all your teeth.
Oh, I did. The present's way more
don't
than
come home
been.
Sunburned on a roof.
I knew what I was getting
or
myself
what,
into.
You know.
All right, we continue here. Bill Goody Kuntz, Goody at the Movies, coming up in just a little bit. He's going to tell us about a hot movie, or maybe not movie, that's out there in theaters today.
I haven't seen many movies lately, so I look forward to hearing about a few of them.
I'm going to be like, so Bill, let me ask you about E.T. What did you think of that? Because that might be the last movie I've seen in the theater. No, I'm kidding, but it's been a while. I did want to get into the NBA with you, Jody, as I know it's off season for a lot of us because the Suns are out, but
yep.
I kind of like what's going on here in the Final Four of the each of the conferences, and you know each road team found a way to win a game, and I think the shocker one was
Golden State. I mean, they have an awesome thing going on there with their fans, so that's pretty impressive.
They only lost two games all year at home.
Yeah, I mean it's going to be interesting because the Clippers are playing well and Blake Griffin is playing great.
Oh, he's playing out of his mind right now.
I mean, there's a lot of intrigue in these playoffs. But you mentioned some of the injuries that have come up.
Yeah, John Wall is. They say he has fractures in his left wrist and hand. So I don't know how. I mean, it's his left. So maybe, I mean, he's a righty, but you get one slap on the wrist going through the lane or something like that.
He
and
said
that's John
today
Wall's
he's
game.
Not sure if he can play tomorrow, but
right.
I mean,
yeah,
what else is
not
he going to say? I mean, it's the playoffs, so there's a lot of pressure on
I think he'll miss game three. I think they'll see, hey, can we win one without him? Right. You know, and then because Washington still is a good team, but Wall is what makes him go. And I don't think Atlanta's that great, even though the one seed. So anyway, Atlanta might have caught a break there. And then you've got injuries in the Clippers series. Chris Paul's been banged up. And then in the Cleveland-Chicago series, you know, Cleveland trying to do it without Kevin Love. They didn't have J.R. Smith for the first two games. Now he returns. However, Amon Shumpert got banged up at the end of the game in that game the other night, and he played great. So you might get J.R. Smith back and lose Shumpert. So a lot of people are thinking Chicago's going to take out Cleveland.
They could. I mean, obviously, you know, with those two teams, there's a lot of talented players on those teams. But, you know, Suns fans know when you're missing guys, whether injury or suspension, I mean, it's the NBA. Other sports you can rely on. They're all team sports, but in the NBA, it's so individual, and guys have such key roles, specific roles. And it's tough. I think, you know, Cleveland might be to the point where if they're too shorthanded, it might be tough.
Right. But LeBron, he put the cape on the other night and took over. And even in the Memphis Golden State series, you know, Mike Conley Jr. didn't play in game one because of his facial fracture. He put the mask on and played in game two and was out of this world. And Memphis steals a game in Golden State, which I did not see happening. So, I think it's fun that these are all, you know, 1-1 because the first round, besides the Clippers-Spurs, it was so anticlimactic. It was just boring and it wasn't that great.
I know that James Harden, you know, some people, his game is painful a little bit to watch with going to the line so much, but selfishly, because covering him here, I root for them.
Yeah.
you know, we'll see what happens there.
Oh, I can't root for the Clippers because of Matt Barnes. Biggest ass clown in sports. I can't. The guy is just his tweet to Casey Jacobson a couple weeks ago. It's just
what's the word? Antagonistic on Twitter and just kind of like always picking a fight.
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
I don't know what it is. He's just a grumpy person. Maybe it's because his wife's on TV and spilling the beans, or I don't know what's going on. All right, E, we'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykoontz, AZ Central Chief Film and Media Critic. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff, including a departure from ESPN. Someone you might like a lot is no longer working there. We'll tell you who that is. Coming up next, Jody Jackson and Mark Asher in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat, here on Sports360AZ.com. This gets me excited for movies. A lot of movies coming up as we continue here on the Brad Sesmat Show, and each and every week, I believe on Fridays, right at this time, Brad usually has the opportunity to visit with Bill Goodykoontz from AZ Central, Chief Film and Media Critic. Goody at the Movies is the name of the segment. Mark Asher, Jody Jackson filling in for the big guy today, and we bring Bill on the program now. Bill, Mark, and Jody, how you doing, bud?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Bill, big fan of your work. Unfortunately, I don't get to see a lot of the movies you review, but maybe this will inspire my husband and I to go to the movies a little more. Good to have you.
I wish that I didn't go to see some of them. Actually, I'm big fans of you guys' work, too, and I'm not one smoke. I don't always say that to people, but I've told Mark before that, too. And so this is fun. But we should probably, we're going to run out of time congratulating each other if we don't.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about, because we want to ask you something away from the movies a little bit as well, but I guess you had the opportunity, I wouldn't say the pleasure, maybe, of seeing a movie. Now, E, do we show the trailer first? I want to make sure. No. What do we do? All right, here we go. So this the latest movie for Bill Goodykoontz was called Hot Pursuit, starring Sofia Vergara and Reese Witherspoon. Oh, we don't actually hear the sound. Oh, so we got a video. I'm sorry. I'm new to this, Bill. I don't usually do movie stuff. So the movie is called Hot Pursuit. I think the gist of it is it's two women on the run from law. Jody and I, honestly, we just watched the trailer in the last commercial break. So
Reese Witherspoon is kind of a dopey cop who can't really do anything right. And Sofia Vergara is the wife of a mobster who is going to testify against like the big kingpin. She and her husband are. And Sophia, or Reese Witherspoon, has to get her to Dallas from San Antonio or somewhere. So, you know, but things go wrong and we go on the run, and it is just awful. And that's just too bad because these are like two good actresses. You know, Reese Witherspoon, man, she's like, you know, she doesn't just make movies, she produces movies now. She was a producer for Gone Girl and all these, you know, big movies and stuff. But man, this thing is awful.
Well, it does. Jody and I weren't exactly making this our next date night, not with each other, but with our respective better halves. This was not on the list of things to do. Didn't look that good.
If it was, it should no longer be.
I was wondering though, Sofia Vergara, has she been in many movies? It's kind of
no, and I can understand this for her a little bit more. I mean, she's an Emmy nominated. She may be an Emmy winner actually for Modern Family. And she's funny, and whatever funny stuff there is in this movie, it's her, but she's got good delivery. But I can understand her wanting to do that. You know, just the fact that you asked that question, I mean, she hadn't been in many movies. So this is, oh, wow, a Reese Witherspoon movie. Sure, in the summer, I'll be in that.
Right.
But Reese Witherspoon, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reese has been in some real good ones over the years. This one,
I love Sofia
Vergara, by the way, in Modern Family. She's phenomenal. And that whole show is phenomenal. It's my favorite show on television. But
oh, that's great. But dang.
I got you. I feel you, Bill. I know right where you're going. Bill Goodykoontz, Goody at the Movies. Hey, I know you haven't seen this movie yet, I don't think, because it hasn't even come out yet. But I saw the trailer for the new Vacation. I'm sorry. I think that looks hilarious.
I try to stay away from trailers, and I haven't watched it yet, because I don't want them to... Two things. I don't want them to bury the... I mean, sometimes they put all the good stuff in the trailer. I try to stay away from that, and I don't want them to sort of, you know, sway my opinion before I get there.
Sure.
But you were the second person in 2 days who has told me that they saw that trailer and thought it was really funny. So yeah. That's a good sign.
Without being a spoiler alert, my wife showed me the trailer because Chris Hemsworth is in it with his shirt off and a giant, I'm hoping prosthetic, thing in his pants. And so that's why, because he's on her. Thor is on my wife's list.
Okay.
Do you have a list?
I don't have a list, no.
You know, the top five list. Bill, do you...
Hot guys, hot, you know.
Nah, there's a list. Like, if you happen to see them, like, you get a hall pass if they... But yeah, I think it's unfair list, because her list is, you know, Thor and Jason Statham and all these, you know, all these good-looking actors. And I said, look, if you ever met Thor in Vegas, my wife's a very attractive woman, you go in Vegas, she puts the dress on, you might have a chance, right? You might, if you went up to Thor and said, hey, you're on my list, I get a hall pass with you. So my list is the hot chick at Starbucks, the girl that works the counter at the...
hot chick at Starbucks?
Yeah, because I could actually have a chance with them. If I put Jennifer Aniston on my list, it doesn't...
You're missing the point of the list.
Right. Bill knows where I'm going
Bill,
here.
Bill, do you have a list, Bill?
But you're missing the point of the list. I'm not... Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to act on my list, but I said, like, it's unfair because girls actually have a chance with... You know, Jason Statham and all these guys. Guys don't have... I could say that Jessica Biel's on my list. It doesn't matter. I could go to Jessica Biel in Vegas tomorrow and see her and be like, you're on my list. She'd be like, get away from me and call the cops. Like
you would. I was going to say, you would finish the night in jail.
Yeah. All right, Bill, leave us with this. Bill Simmons out at ESPN. I saw this coming when he got suspended and the way he was kind of being against the system a little bit. But that's a big departure at ESPN.
I got a couple things to say about it, but I just want to ask you guys. What, do you guys like him?
I like his reading. I don't like him on television.
When I read his articles, he wrote one on quarterbacks in the fall that was fantastic. I mean, I honestly haven't seen him a ton on TV. I'll be real honest.
He's a little smarmy on TV, but he's smarmy in print, but it's funny. It doesn't always translate to funny on TV.
I agree.
But But I think he's trying to do the same thing, but it doesn't work. I like Simmons a lot. I used to, a long, long time ago, I used to work in sports. And we tried, my late, great friend and mentor, Jeff Tosbaba, who's a sports editor, I wrote this column that was a real smart, elegant thing, but it was from a fan's perspective. People, including some of my coworkers of the Republic, a lot of traditional sports people hated it because they thought, well, you're not showing reverence to, you know, like ASU's freshman team or whatever. And so, well, so what? Now people do that a lot. And I think that we did an okay job with that. We did it good. I think what Simmons did was he did that, and he did it great. And he has such an extensive knowledge of the sport, particularly basketball, that he's covering, that even the traditional people who might not have liked that kind of thing had to come on board. They had to acknowledge, you may not like the way he says it, but this guy knows what he's talking about. I thought that was great.
And the pop culture references for a lot of people, our age, Bill, he nailed them.
He is an encyclopedia of... You couldn't get... Has he ever written anything where he didn't talk about the Breakfast Club? Or he didn't talk... I mean, it's... And I really like that. And what I think that did, and you look at even the traditional guys now, some of the older guys, it shaped what they do. I think he was really influential.
Yeah.
And I think that...
Do you have any idea where he'll end up? I mean, we've heard Yahoo, Google. I mean, someone's going to pay Bill Simmons.
I bet he starts his own thing. I bet he could get money for it. He's the guy that started 30 for 30. That was his idea.
Right.
And what a great idea. And he's walking away from what I understand with none of that stuff. So, but the guys like that, it's like, you know, Letterman's coming up. Letterman's been talking about how when he left NBC, they wouldn't let him take anything. So he had to invent stuff. And I think Simmons is similarly, he's not Letterman. There's only one Letterman. But I think that he's smart enough that he can come up with his own stuff. And I really hope he does. That's what I hope he does. I hope he doesn't go somewhere else and try to do the same thing. I hope he goes somewhere else and invents something new.
Yeah, the writing was on the wall when he was suspended, I think, by ESPN. Yeah. So
he's been getting fired since the day they hired him.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, Bill. Hey, well, we appreciate the insight on Hot Pursuit. Thanks for saving us like $12. And
$20 now.
Exactly. And we continue to listen. I always enjoy the segment with Brad. So next week, I believe Brad will be in. But if we have the opportunity again, we both look forward to it. All right.
Me too. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, Bill. Bill Goody Koontz, Goody at the Movies segment each and every Friday here on the Brad Sesmet Show. And by the way, if you missed any of that, don't go see Hot Pursuit.
Yeah, that was the bottom line on that.
That was the gist.
And vacation is promising, at least according to Ash.
Yeah. I see Bill Simmons, to me, before Bill Simmons blew up, I was a big fan of Bill Simmons. Like, when he was just...
Well, he wrote a book on the Suns, didn't he? Did he not?
No, he wrote a book on the NBA.
Okay.
Which was
I thought he had some ties with the Suns. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He had a lot to do with just the end. You know, he loves Boston. He's a Boston guy. His pop culture's references were also great. And my friends and I, oh, did you see Simmons? Did you read Simmons? Oh, we'd email it to each other. And then he started getting a little bigger and got on NBA and started writing it. He lost me a little bit. So, Jody Jackson, Mark Asher, we are in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat, right here on Sports 360 AZ.com and AZCentralSports.com. Brad Sesmat Show today being hosted as we wrap up your week by Mark Asher and Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona. 15 years for JJ at Fox Sports Arizona. You made
feeling
a face
old.
There.
No, it's been fun.
You guys have been awesome. And you know what? Really, you kept a lot of the, Todd. Todd's probably been doing it, what, 14, 13
years? We came around the same. You know, obviously, Todd's been in the Valley longer than I have. But I think he came to Fox a little bit, like a couple months after I did.
Right. And then, obviously, you know, there's been a few others, but Brett Hansen, my good buddy over there, he's been with you guys in the front office forever.
Yeah.
So
I said yesterday since day one on the air with Brett, but I think it was close. I don't know if it was, but yeah.
No, it's good. You guys do great work. And, of course, if you're watching the D-backs, you're watching it on Fox Sports Arizona. Those of you know, I don't work in radio anymore, and I work as a financial advisor.
But it's just like riding a bike.
It is. I do a weekly podcast still once a week called Ashtags, and that keeps me fresh.
Very clever.
Yeah. Oh, you like that? That's
I like
good,
that.
Right? Hashtag.
Well, when you love sports and the way you had a show for so long.
Yeah,
and,
15 years.
You know, you just never lose it. You never stop paying attention to what you love doing. But
no,
but you have a successful career in what I call the real world. So
the real world, yeah. I get up early, go to work early, drive in traffic. Like none of that happened when I worked in radio. There was no such thing as drive time or like, rush hour.
Right.
So I was on the air till 7 o'clock,
yeah,
or 6 o'clock or whatever. So, all right, we got, I think we're going to have Tony La Russa, hopefully the chief baseball officer from the Arizona Diamondbacks, joining us in just a few minutes. Some of the top stories today, we just mentioned earlier about Bill Simmons leaving ESPN. And, for some people, that's a big deal. Here's the deal. I think Simmons and ESPN somewhere started butting heads a few years back, and it just kind of came to fruition. And you can tell by when the guy for ESPN, John Skipper, the president, was like, I decided not to renew his contract.
The way that it was worded, you could tell there was some animosity there.
Oh, absolutely.
So
he will pop up somewhere and will continue to do his thing. And I hope he takes it back a little bit to the old school when he was just writing and keeping us entertained that way. I did not prefer him on the NBA on ESPN. The other big story is Tom Brady, who did make an appearance last night at Salem State University with Jim Gray, somewhere in Massachusetts, wherever Salem State is. Salem, Massachusetts, I'm guessing. And didn't really answer any questions about Deflategate, but there are going to be more questions that need to be answered. One, by Tom Brady. Two, by Commissioner Roger Goodell, because some sort of punishment has to come out of this. What that is, you and I both don't know. You and I both kind of agree it might be not
a
too
game
bad,
or two.
Right?
It's hard because, again, it's such a marquee guy who has been squeaky clean, image wise to this point. So, and if you're looking for an advantage, I think a lot of people feel like, is how big an advantage is it with Tom Brady? How big of an advantage was this? But that's not really what matters here. What matters is he didn't disclose what he did. He didn't end up telling everyone what happened.
Well, and that's the thing. He lied about it, did that press conference, which was what? Probably he was up there for an hour? Remember him and Belichick?
It was quite a while.
It was a while. And
Robert Kraft going on about what he's had to endure. And, those words are kind of etched in my mind, what he's had to endure.
And the big deal was when they played the Colts. I mean, they could have been playing with a watermelon and they were going to beat the Colts. But, hey, that's not going anywhere, that story. That I can guarantee you. We are very excited to welcome to the Brad Sesmat Show here on Sports360AZ.com. Although Brad's not here, Mark Asher and Jody Jackson from Fox Sports Arizona taking the reins. We are visiting now with the chief baseball officer of your Arizona Diamondbacks, Tony La Russa. He joins us now on the program. Tony, Mark, and Jody, how you doing today?
All depends on the night.
Well, hey,
by 10 o'clock, we don't play the bottom of the ninth inning.
Hey, tonight, we'll see. Today, you got to be feeling pretty good because the last three nights or the last three mornings, you've woken up feeling pretty good as your team has won three in a row. And Jody and I both talked about this, you know, staying relevant right now and staying in the mix. And you've had some injuries you've had to deal with and some things that you didn't maybe foresee. But you know, all in all, I know you're maybe not over the top thrilled, but you got to be pretty happy with some of the way the team has been playing, right?
No, I think overall, you know, with a couple of games that gotten away, you had two subtract to, you know, then we're over 500. But that's the reality is that we've battled back. You know, had a couple of tough stretches, and we battled back and shown that our potential is legitimate.
Yeah, no question. Tony, lots to get to, but I'm going to ask you about one thing that Chip talked about last night, and everyone was asking, you know, about Mark Trumbo in that two spot. And he said he just did it initially to just shake things up, maybe have him see some better pitches in front of Goldie. And then last night he mentioned that, you know, you've done that before in your career. What was the conversation with you and Chip about particularly Mark Trumbo and his spot in the lineup?
Well, there's a lot there. The place I'd start with is where Chip started with. And that is, you know, any leader that's worth his salt understands if you have a tough situation, you know, where things are not quite right, the worst thing you can do is to throw your hands up and say, hey, look, you know, the coaching staff and I are doing all we can do, and you guys just got to play better. And you learn from real leaders that there's always something else you can do. In fact, there's a great leader, General Hal Moore, that led that battle in Vietnam where Mel Gibson played in the movie. He said that. You're always something else you can do. And then he coined the baseball phrase. He said, three strikes and you're not out. So Chip's exactly right. You know, just do something different. But do something that makes sense. And one of the big pluses you have is that Goldie is as good as anybody in uniform. So anybody hits in front of Goldie is going to be in a prime position. And when you have somebody like Mark Trumbo with his dynamite bat, creates a very uncomfortable position for the other side because you don't want to just go ball down the middle because Mark will hurt you, but if you pitch it too carefully, then that puts a base runner for Goldie. And what we discussed over the years, if there's one, you know, I was always given more credit for innovation than I deserve because most of them came from coaches. And I just said, yeah, that makes sense. We did it. But the one that after having an outstanding third place hitter through most of my career, like Harold Baines and Albert Pujols and Mark McGuire, Canseco. If you have somebody in that two hole that can create some damage, you really put extra pressure on that pitcher. And it was one of my favorite things to do. And a lot of guys do that. And the only reason that Chip, started out not doing it is because you like to have big damage behind Goldie. But to get somebody started, it was, it's worked out nicely, but it made sense when he did it, and it will continue to make sense.
Yeah, he's had a couple home runs, so it seems to be working right now. The other thing we've seen are the hard throwers that you've brought in the offseason. Ruby, we know he's part of the rotation, had an outstanding outing last night. And then even Robbie Ray, who was called upon. That was your goal, right? Dave Stewart wanted to bring in some hard throwers into the mix because you've got, obviously Josh Colemanter and Chase Anderson and guys that, don't throw as hard, Jeremy Hellickson as well. And that seems to be starting to work out for you guys.
I think you're giving Dave Stewart a lot of credit. The John Watson, Brian Minetti, they all work together very well as a team. Mike Russell's on the professional side as well. And, analyzing the club last year, as soon as Corbin gets hurt, you lost some life there. And what you always try to do with a rotation is to really have some nice versatility. So you can definitely have guys like Josh Colemanter, who's just an artist like a Maddox and Chase, who makes pitches, but you want to have the variety. And one of the things that Dave really concentrated on was adding some power and control. Young guys that we was for a while, and he's done a very, very good job. I mean, and that goes along with guys like Archie and Shipley and Blair and other guys in our organization. So another guy he brought over in the Montero trade. There was two guys. Like he was got a big arm, and Godley. I think Godley's like 5 or 6-0 with a 1 ERA in A ball. So talent like Robbie and Robbie Ray or Ruby. That's where it starts. And if you can have a nice mix, and that was Dave particular's goal, and he really has refreshed and deepened the arms, the live arms in our organization.
D-backs victorious last night, 11-0 over the Padres on a throwback Thursday. I thought that was pretty cool, busting out the old jerseys. That'll happen all season long on Thursday nights for the D-backs at home. Tony La Russa, the chief baseball officer of your Arizona Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Brad Sesbatt Show. Tony, I wanted to ask you about Yosmani Tomas. I was at a game, I guess, last week against Colorado, and I thought he played pretty well, especially late. Came up with a couple big hits, drove in some runs. Are you seeing him progress? Are you seeing him start to get used to major league pitching? And I know there was some concern maybe about his, his physical appearance, not appearance, but how healthy he was and how in shape he was. But seems like he's starting to round into the player maybe you guys thought he was going to be.
I think you just got to identify what, Mark, we got us so excited when he was scouted. He has a real, and I'm not exaggerating, good stroke. And I compared him, and I think there's some comparisons there that are worth. I'm not saying he's Miguel Cabrera, but the things that the way he swings the plate and uses the whole field reminds you of a stroke of Miguel Cabrera. And what he's done to not just compete but succeed at the major league level with guys he's never seen before is a testament to the talent he has and kind of the big league tool. He's not intimidated. A lot of it comes from playing in a very hard situation in Cuba. But I think as he gets older, he'll start pulling the trigger. And I'll give you one quick analogy. For years, guys like Cabrera, Yastrzemski, people got on their case, hey, you got to pull the ball more. Well, if you start early in your career and you're hitting the ball from the middle of the other side, you hit for a higher average, and you'll be more productive. And as you get older, you'll start realizing when you can pull and when you shouldn't. So he's played third base. He's got nice hands. His arm is becoming more accurate all the time. I'm not sure, because of a guy like Jake Lamb, but it's nice to have a guy as a good enough athlete like Yosmani that can play the infield or throw the outfield if we need him.
He made a great play last night at third base, which was it was nice. He can make those plays defensively. Also want to ask you about Archie Bradley. We know he's going to return May 16th in Philadelphia. Scary moment. Last night he had to put the catcher mask on in the dugout because a foul ball came his way. But thank goodness that young man who's, not obviously he's performed well on the field, but just a great kid, he's going to be okay and back in your rotation in 8 days.
Well, I agree, Jody, and that's just been a great story. I mean, when I came in the organization, he was as good or the brightest young guy. And then he had a little ouch. And last year was, let's get him well. But what he's done this year, he came in the spring training, no promises, and everything that he has gotten, he has earned, which is the best way. And he's demonstrating some very exciting talent. And you put that with the toughness that he demonstrated once he got hit. And now he can't wait to get back out there. We have a very, really, really neat and important piece in that rotation. In fact, Corbin's looking so good that you can get excited visualizing what's ahead for our team. But in Archie's case, and I'll make a quick point because I started to say it a little bit about Yosmani. Archie, as you say, is a really good young man. He's got personality, really mixes well with his teammates. And that's one thing. The guys really like Yosmani. They have a great fun with him. He takes their kidding, and he just laughs, and they embrace him. So there's the makings of an excellent chemistry on that team because of the type of people and the type of coaching staff and manager that we have. They really work to build relationships. So, we're all really excited, and I think our fans are going to see the result of the talent and the closeness, the character of that team on the field.
I will just second that on Tomas. Great personality. Yesterday I was trying to talk to him a little bit, but I am not very good with my Spanish. So Oscar Hernandez was actually trying to help me, which was kind of just a circus. But anyway, Tony, I agree. Great. There is some great chemistry building on this team, that's for sure.
Well, it's important.
All right, Tony. Well, hey, we appreciate it. Team scored 29 runs in the last three. Hopefully they can keep that up tonight going up against Shields, who's undefeated so far on the year. Hellickson will be on the mound. Diamondbacks in the middle of a seven-game homestand in downtown Phoenix at Chase Field. This is game two of that seven-game homestand tonight downtown. Tony, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk soon, all right?
All right, anytime. It's always about what's next, so
it's the Shields and the Padres in game two. So we're looking forward to it. Thank you.
Looking forward to it as well. There you go. Tony La Russa, Chief Baseball Officer of your Arizona Diamondbacks, who are playing pretty well. I mean, 29 runs in the last three games. Where'd this offense come from, right?
Well, I mean, we talked about it last night in the pregame. Like, Coors Field is a way to get right. I guess Mark Grace, that was just blatantly one of his messages. You know, he and Turner Ward are together. Turner's a hitting coach. Gracie's the assistant. You know, they talked about kind of get fat at Coors Field. You know, get right, get, you know, pile on some runs. And they did that. But then last night they came right out against a guy. Despaigne is a guy. He's not even in the rotation.
Right.
But they've had trouble with him. He's kept them off balance, throwing a lot of different speeds, and they absolutely took it to him in the first inning. So it was good to see.